Okay, so I'm going to be starting a new series tonight on Wednesday nights called The Thriving Church. And the title tonight is Our Church Should Be Growing. And in the fall, I attended a pastor's conference at the Wilds in New England. And the pastor's conference was, it was a one-day conference, it was on the Thriving Church. That's what the name of the conference was. And it was a tremendous blessing to me, and I thought I would share what I learned with you folks. And the preacher that day was Dean Taylor. You'll remember him. He preached here that Sunday afterward. And also these lessons are adapted from his book, The Thriving Church. But I want to ask a couple of questions before I get into the lesson. Are you the type of person, and these aren't to be answered out loud or, you know, just in your head, okay? Are you the type of person who is satisfied with just getting by, okay? Are you content with mediocrity? Are you satisfied with a 2.0 grade average? Or do you want a 4.0, okay? Will a C do when you know you can get an A? Should this be our attitude concerning Hill Village Bible Church and Winnesquam Bible Church? And look at your in your notes, it should say, as an introduction, Revelation 3, verse 15 and 16, what is our Lord's thought about mediocrity, about lukewarmness? Revelation 3, verse 15, the Bible says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So cold, a cold drink is refreshing. A warm drink is comforting. A lukewarm drink, according to the Lord, makes him want to spew it out of his mouth. So what I want for us as a church, as a ministry, as individuals, but in particular, this study has to do with our church. So as a church, I want for us not just to survive, but to thrive. Not just to sow, S-O-W, but to grow. Not just to live, but to reproduce, okay? Not just to attend church, but to belong. When I was here a couple of weeks ago for the two baptisms, it's interesting that in both testimonies, both young men said, you know, they felt like they belonged, and there was like a community, and that's good. And not just to be a member, but to be a minister, okay? Not just to be ministered unto, but to minister. And again, not just to be alive, but to thrive. I once heard a person say in a message, anything that is alive will grow. So if something is alive, it will grow. And if our church is alive, what's going to happen? It's going to grow, okay? So, point number one from your notes in there. is it God's will for our church to grow? Now, when I'm talking about growth, I'm talking about two kinds of growth. You've heard me say this. If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. We grow quantitatively, right? So we grow by numbers, we get larger, and we grow qualitatively. So it has to do with our evangelism and our edification. And there should be growth in both of those areas. People should be getting saved and being added to our church, which we see that happen. And then believers should be discipled and growing in the Lord. And we're seeing that happen. Okay? Is wanting to be a part of a growing church self-serving? No, it's not. Okay? You want to be part of an active, growing church. Okay? You don't want to be part of a dead church. I hope you don't want to be part of a dead church, okay? Our church, friends, should be growing. In fact, our church should be thriving. And why should it be thriving? Because of you and each one of us, okay? It should be thriving because of all of us. It should not be thriving because of the pastor. It should not be thriving because of the deacons. It should not be thriving because of the Sunday school teachers. It should be thriving because of each one of us having our part in the ministry of this local church, okay? So if all of us together had this mindset, this what I believe is a biblical mindset, our church would grow. Now, the biblical basis for this whole study is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. And tonight we're only going to look at verse 16. It's funny, we're going to the last verse to start. But we're going to be looking at this whole passage through the study. So it probably would be good for you to familiarize yourself over the course of time, to familiarize yourself with Ephesians chapter 4. But what is the biblical basis for this statement? Is it God's will for our church to grow? Is there a biblical basis for that? And the answer is yes. It's found in Ephesians 4:16. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4:16, "For whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Now notice the statements there in verse 16 about the whole body, okay? Who's part of the body here? We are, right? The whole body. Notice words like every joint and every part. So the whole body, every joint, every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. From these words, we see that growth is possible. And it is God's will for our church to grow. This means the church should be growing. It also indicates, this verse, that the church itself contributes to its own growth. Okay? This study, I don't want it to be another church growth study. You know, I don't want it to be that. I want us to see that this is what we should all be doing. And if we're all doing this, the natural outcome will be our church will grow quantitatively and qualitatively. It has to happen. God's promised it would, and it will. Now, far too many churches have settled for a little life. Far too many churches have settled for a little light, and they have bought into the lie that you can't have a thriving, reproducing church in America today, especially in New England. And, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Maine, all the states that border us, including us, are the most unchurched states in all of America, okay? Used to be the Northwest, no longer. It's us, okay? And even here in New England, we can have thriving churches, okay? I believe that with all my heart. Did God change his program? What did he say in Matthew 16? I will build my church. Okay, God has not changed his program. So are these verses that we only read one verse, but are these verses in Ephesians 4 still true? Of course they are. But are we willing to do our part? There's the dilemma. There's where the rubber meets the road. There's where J. Vernon McGee used to say, that's where the gospel walks in shoe leather. Okay? You know, that's where we live. Are we willing to do our part? Far too many Christians appease their religious conscience by spending an hour or so in church and spending a little money in church on Sunday. And it kind of appeases their conscience. That's never going to have us have, number one, a thriving ministry, and we'll never have a vibrant, victorious Christian life that way either. You know, so growing and thriving are similar ideas. Again, look at verse 16. For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So again, if it is, which I think we've already determined, if it is God's will for our church to grow, then the following is true also. We need to gain a thorough understanding of what it means to be a growing body. What does that mean? Are we only increasing by numbers? Are we only increasing in our knowledge? You know, we can have this really smart, biblical, you know, knowledgeable church, and all of us are just filled with doctrine, and we're getting older, and we're getting grayer, and we're not growing, right? Numbers, no new life is coming in. Or we can be a church that just continues to see people save, and no discipleship is going on, and you have a church filled with believers, but believers who don't know how to live for the Lord. So we need to gain a thorough understanding of what it means to be a growing body. And again, any true church can grow. And we're talking about biblical growth here. You know, any true church can grow. And if our church isn't growing, friends, we have a big problem. I realize we go through growth spurts, and I realize, you know, there are times when we see a lot of people coming and times that we see few coming, and you know, and everything in between. I realize that, but there needs to be growing, because if our church isn't growing, we aren't fulfilling God's will, right? We're not fulfilling the Great Commission. And if that's the case, then really our church has no reason to exist. Because why does the church exist? First and foremost, to do all to the glory of God. And what brings glory to God more than the salvation of souls and the discipleship of believers? Correct? You know, the two sides of this of that evangelism coin. Evangelism and edification. That brings glory to God. And if you are not contributing to our church's growth, you are remiss in your responsibility as a Christian and a church member. And you need to remedy this immediately. All of us need to be involved in evangelism. And that can be many, many ways. It could be sitting across a coffee table. It could be handing out gospel tracts. If you're so inclined, it can be going door to door. You know, there's many ways to be involved in evangelism. I like to hear sometimes some of the exciting things folks are doing, leaving tracks here, leaving tracks there, and sticking them in gasoline pumps, because everybody needs gas nowadays, you know, and it's too expensive. And so we need to remedy this immediately if we're not contributing to our church's growth. Since the Bible gives instructions about being a growing church, we can learn how to help our church grow. And that is going to be the topic of this whole series. Today, just laying very simple groundwork as we move ahead. The fourth point there says, I love my church. Loving our church is a good thing. Okay, but do you love it for what it does for you, or do you truly want the best for our church? See the difference there? I love my church. Why do you love your church? Oh, because it just, you know, it meets my every need. That's kind of a selfish reason to love your church? Should the church meet your spiritual needs? Of course it should, you know. But that's not the reason that we love our church. We love our church because we truly want what is best for our church. Think about a marriage, right? When a man and a woman get married, the man now is no longer concerned about himself. He's concerned about his wife. The wife now is no longer concerned about herself. She cares about her husband. And so together, they are ministering to each other, and both of their needs are being met by the other. And that's also how it works here. We should truly want what is best for our church. Does loving our church mean you feel good here all the time? Nope. How many of you love your spouse? How many of you always really feel great about that? You know, there are times, right? There are times. We know that. I mean, there are times that my wife probably says, ugh. And there are times I say, ugh. By the way, Sunday's our 40th anniversary. We made it 40 years, and we were just kind of reminiscing about how can it be? You know, I feel like we just got married last week, and it's 40 years. But anyway, I digress. Loving our church, it means, does loving your church mean you feel good here all the time? Or does it mean you truly care about what happens here, the people who gather here, and what God is doing here? You know, sometimes messages hit us. Sometimes something out of left field from one of our brothers or sisters in the church hits us, right? Ooh, where'd that come from? You know, that's relationships. But if we love our church, what do? We work through those. We don't get angry because it's not about me, right? I'm here for what this church gives to me. Well, somebody just made me angry, so I'm out of here. That's a lot of Christians. But that shouldn't be how it is. Do you attend and participate in church because of what it does for you, or because you want to give yourself to it, just like Jesus did, right? So do you care about our church? Are you genuinely interested in its well-being? Do you want our church to be healthy? And if so, are you willing to give of yourself, even if it's hard, so our church will thrive? You know, if you ignore your marriage, it'll go away. You know, a dentist once told me, if you ignore your teeth, they'll go away. You know, if you ignore, you know, the church and your role in it, eventually you're going to part ways. So if we love our church, we care about it. We're concerned about it. We're actively involved in it, and we want to be. Now turn your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 20. And of course, the greatest example we have of love for the church is the Lord Jesus. And Paul, on his way back to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost, stops at Miletus, which is a little bit south of Ephesus, and he calls for the elders of the church in Ephesus. And in doing so, he reminds them in verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath," what? "Purchased with his own blood." So, how much does Jesus care for the church? I mean, so much so that he died for it. How much does Jesus care for Hill Village Bible Church and Winnesquam Bible Church? So much so he died for it. And so we should be willing as well to give of ourselves to the church. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. We were just in Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. the admonition to the husbands. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So here is the example of how much Christ loved the church, and here in the context, Paul is speaking about the example for the husband to follow. But what I want to see from this verse is I want to take the fact how much Jesus loved the church. We are his beloved bride. So how does your love for our church compare to his? Okay? How does our love for the church compare to his? Of course, it doesn't compare. I mean, he died for the church. But we ought to all be seeking that, correct? The good of our church. Do you love our church, again, because what you get from it? Or do you love our church in a way that compels you to give yourself to and for it? So I am going to ask a couple questions here out loud that I'd like you to answer if you can. If we love our church in the way that compels us to give ourselves to it and for it, what does that look like? What does that look like? I love my church so much, I want to give myself to it and for it. What does that look like? Paul, Joe first, and then we'll... I mean, a church our size, any given Sunday, any given Wednesday, when you come, there's going to be somebody that's had a tough time, a tough week, a tough day. And you may be that one to be the one who encourages them, right? Okay, what else? Barb? Okay, serve through a ministry. Serve one another through a ministry, okay? Christy? Sacrifice. Yep. Sacrifice. Money, time, energy. Okay. Any guys have any ideas? Thankful for the ladies. But you know, it's just really looking outside of yourself, right? And looking at each other and thinking of the good of the whole church. And yes, that requires sacrifice and that requires money, you know. And yes, times are hard, but, you know, God will supply through his people for his work. And we have to have faith in God, okay? All right, so here's a follow-up question. And this one is more of a private question. But if we think about these things, if we think about ministering, if we think about edifying, if we think about sacrifice, if we think about evangelism, what will we do? What will you do? What will I do then? You know, coming to church is more than just coming, sitting for an hour, you know, coming right on, you know, oop, it's 7 o'clock or whatever time we start, you know, I get there right on time and, you know, pastor says amen, I'm out of here. It's more than that, you know, it's getting involved. It could be, you know, ministering to people sometimes could be nothing more than talking to them, right? And listening. And sometimes all you have to do is listen. You don't have to open your mouth at all. You know, just listen. Give them a hug. I'm praying for you. And then pray for them. Don't, you know, hey, I'm praying for you. You don't pray, you know, pray for them. Okay? So how do we apply all this? Do you care about the Lord Jesus' church? Then be a participant, not a spectator. Sandy and I watched we watched both football games on Sunday. I can't say I watched the whole games. A lot of time I was checking the inside of my eyelids for cracks. But you know, the one game in Kansas City, I mean, it's freezing, right? It's cold there. They said what the temperature was. I don't remember what it was, but everybody's breath is showing. Everybody, you know, and the stadium is filled, right? The stadium is filled, and these people are all excited there. And it was so loud, the Kansas City fans were so loud that the Cincinnati quarterback and the team couldn't hear the calls a lot. It was so loud. And all of that was for a stupid football game, right? I mean, I'm not saying, you know, we shouldn't lie. I'm not saying, but think about all that sacrifice of money. Do you think playoff tickets are cheap? Wait till the Super Bowl, and that place will be packed, right? Sacrifice of money, sacrifice of time. There was sacrifice of comfort. They were freezing, and they were excited to be there. You know, could you imagine if that excitement would be brought to church? Could you imagine if on Sunday afternoon when Pastor Andrew's walking down the aisle, you know, you guys soak him with Gatorade because that was such a great sermon that he preached? You know, I mean, but think about being excited over a nonsense thing like football when we come every Sunday, you know, to worship the King of Kings, the creator of the universe, the God who spoke everything into existence, the God who, you know, deserves our praise. Don't be a participant. Don't be just a spectator. How many people have left this church or their church? How many people have left this church and not cared at all how it affected the body? All they cared about was themselves. And I dare say, most people. Some people move on because leave because they move. I understand that. We're not talking about people who move. We're not talking about people who get promoted to glory. Even though someone who gets promoted to glory, you know, their leaving still hurts, doesn't it? You know, but there are people who have left this church and other churches that they don't care. All they care about, I was hurt. I'm out of here. They didn't love the church. They loved what the church did for them. And that's an attitude we have to change. So what is growth? Growth, of course, is if anything's alive, it will grow. We're going to grow here as a ministry. We're going to grow in quantity, and we're going to grow in quality. And what causes growth? There's a lot of things that cause growth, right? We in a church setting, evangelism causes growth. In a church setting, edification causes growth. And if we go to the agricultural setting, we need to be sowing and weeding and watering and doing all that stuff, and then one day we'll be reaping. And are you helping or hindering the growth in our churches? How can I help our church to be a growing body? These are things we're going to answer in the weeks ahead. And what are some ways a church can grow other than numerical? And, of course, we talked about, you know, I think this is great that we're doing this memory verses and all of that. And, you know, I've heard some grumbling, oh, I can't memorize. Well, with that attitude, no, you can't. But, you know, but we can do it. And what are evidences that a person truly loves their church rather than merely likes what the church does for them? So I have gotten so many phone calls about people inquiring or emails or texts about people inquiring about the church, and this is what they all say. What ministries do you have for me, you know, for my wife, for my husband, for my kid, you know? What do you have? And I understand part of that. I have never in my ministry had somebody call me and say, Pastor, we just moved into the area. We want to get involved with a Bible-believing church. We want to get right involved and start ministering right away. Anything we could do. Well, you'd have to call 911 because I would probably be laying on the ground. But that's never happened. And that's, you know, but that should be our attitude about our church here. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to be talking about treating a sick body. Okay, we are a body of believers here, and if we're sick, how do we treat that? What do we do? And then the week I get back from Israel, we'll talk about a second part of that, treating a sick body. One of the things we're going to start doing on Wednesday night, and let's see if I was good. Ooh, 3 minutes late, sorry. But we're